And Redding, California is a very interesting church. Sometimes they get a lot of bad press, but they also get a lot of good press that, of course, the world doesn't want you to hear about or for you to read. And one of the things that's very important in that church to do is to serve their community. And they really do serve their community well. They will often take on projects that no one else wants to do, and even some that the city itself doesn't want to do. And they'll go in, they'll clean out an area or fix an area, and that's what they do. They volunteer. They had a civic center there in Redding, and it was nothing. They were going in the hole, and they were at the place that they'd have to close it down because it was not being run well, and it wasn't creating a profit. And so the Bethel Church, they came and approached their city and asked them, what if we gave you the monies to settle up the accounts, and then we run it for you? And the city was quite surprised, and that's what they ended up doing. And so now they run the Civic Center for the city of Redding, and now it's in a place where they're making a profit. So the city's quite happy. They've also have been helping out in the area of ministering to needs that the city has. For example, they needed more police officers, but they didn't have the funds to hire more police. And so the church took up an offering, and they were able to hire that police officer. And then their last one that they did, they just gave $500,000 to the city to help with some of the needs that the city has. And as I look at that, that's something I think as Christians we all need to be doing. We need to be looking after our community. And sometimes as Christians, we just worry about ministering to myself and just, you know, feed me more. And we have a community. It's a beautiful community. We want to love on our community. We want to bless our community. And so that's one of the reasons why we want to do this barbecue. It's just an opportunity not to serve ourselves, but to serve others. And just to show love and show compassion. This year we're not maybe doing it as big as we have in other years. The float, we're just going to simply use a truck and just put basically a Canadian, do up a flowery flag of Canada and to advertise the barbecue. We're not doing the bikes this year. Thought we'd just take a break from that. We realized a lot of people's finances have been pretty tough. But we will be having a prayer area that if people want prayer, that they can come and receive prayer. There are a lot of needs in our community, and so let's pray into them. So that's a few extra things of what's going on as we do that barbecue next Saturday here at the church. And it's always a good thing. Friday night is the night we come together and put it all together. So if you're free, especially on Friday night, we could really use your help as we get everything ready and prepared. And sometimes through the week, as we do some of these projects, we might need a little bit of help. Just call the office to see, or we'll try to post on Facebook what's going on or what's happening, just that you're more aware. And I think that's it. I don't think I missed anything. Sure hope not. Anyway. Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1-5, and then 10-17. I want to share with you again another basic of the faith, the importance of the Word of God. And we spoke once already this summer about the Word of God, and I'd like to do it again, just speaking about the Word of God and how important this book is to our lives. The most important book you need to know is this book right here. Most important book that you need to read is this book right here. The most important book you need to study is right here. This is the most important book. It's God's revelation to us. The supreme revelation of God is right here in your hands, something that we all need to be reading. I'm going to read from 2 Timothy, starting at chapter 3, and starting at verse 1. It says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that." And then go down to verse 10. It says, "But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others, and they themselves will be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things that you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God. It is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I pray that you would make this word alive inside of us here today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I've been sharing with you during these last few months, I've been really sensing that the God has really been telling me to go back to talk about basic things of Christianity. And I really sense that God has been watching us as Christians, not just our own church, but as Christians worldwide, that sometimes we can focus on a whole lot of other things and we kind of forget the basics. What makes us a Christian? What's important in living our Christian faith? And one of those things that is so important is the Word of God. And yet when they do statistics about how well people read this book, we find that even as Christians, we really don't do well in reading the Scriptures. Often it tells us in statistics that for most Christians, that their entirety of reading the Scriptures is sometimes just a Sunday morning. They go to church, they read the Bible, and then after that it kind of gets put on a shelf and they wait till the next week. And I know that's not the case in this church. I know that there's many of you that love this book. I know that there are many of you that read this book. But this is the most important book that we have. There is no other book greater or better than this book. And so it's a book that God wants to remind us of, that it's something that's very important in our lives. It needs to stay prominent in our lives at all times, as it is the supreme revelation of our faith, and everything must line up with what this book says. Hebrews 4:12 puts it this way: "The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and exposes the innermost thoughts and desires." That speaks of the power of this book. That this book is a book that's alive. That as you read this book, there's life in this book. And as you go through its pages, there's life that gets spoken into your heart. It's one of those books that it kind of gets down to a lot of those soul issues that are deep inside of us. Some of those spirit issues that are deep inside of us, and exposes those innermost desires and thoughts. It really is a book that will speak to us. It's interesting that as the Apostle Paul talks to Timothy about the importance of the Word of God, he begins by talking about the last days. And he goes through a whole bunch of characteristics of the last days and what those last days involved. And, you know, as you've listened to me read those things, you can say, well, those are all things that we see today. And that's very true. It's the things that we are seeing in our world this very day. And so as we recognize that, we need to realize that this book becomes even more important for us. That as we recognize that we're living in the last days, the Apostle Paul's message to us and to Timothy is, make sure you know this book. Make sure you hold on to this book. Because you will go through some tough times in these last days. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that life's going to be easy or that you'll not have any problems or you will not have any difficulties. I think this past spring and summer for many of you has been a time where there's been a lot of persecution or a lot of trials that have come your way. And it maybe has been difficult in your journey of faith. And what the Apostle Paul is telling us, and during those times, this is the book that you need. This is the book that you really need to get into, and you need to start reading and read it more and more and more. And thankfully today we have it in digital form that we can read it on our phones, we can read it on our iPads, and we can be driving our cars and praying scriptures through our electronic devices. And what a blessing that is, that you can get that Word of God inside of you. It's a real blessing. And so the message that Paul is addressing here to Timothy is to say that, Timothy, you really need to get into this book. If you're going to prosper, if you're going to be successful in the time that you're living in, if you're going to be make it through these last days, this is the book that you need to know. And I realize that many Christians are missing this simple little fact, because when you talk about knowing this book, a lot of Christians, oh, well, that's boring. Well, that's not very exciting. Well, I'd rather just go somewhere and someone pray for me and get blessed. And why do you want to read this book? Because this very book will bless you. This very book will speak into you. Many times when we're looking for words or looking for God to speak to us, it's as close as opening up this book. It's that easy. Just open up the book. And so this morning, I just want to focus again about the Word of God and kind of go over some of the things that the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, that stressing that this book is an important book for us and is always to be important throughout our lives. And so one of the first things I see here in discovering the importance of this book is that we need to realize that the Word of God is trustworthy. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, "But you must remain faithful to the things that you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you." See, this book, the Bible, is God's word to us. It's His official letter that He has written for you and I, that we might learn and that it might guide us into all truth. It is the book that has been proven throughout history, has been proven throughout the centuries, that is accurate, it's trustworthy. There is no other book in the history of the world that has many proofs to it that declare that is true out there. And I know sometimes, you know, you'll get some things on Discovery Channel. I know they had one on there, and they were kind of looking at the Word of God, and they were trying to find all these faults. And basically, they did a really poor job. If you listen to them and believe their lies, then you might have thought that, oh, this book isn't. They missed up so much. They really did. This book has been proven. There's not another book out there that can compare to this book. You will notice that they won't compare it to any other book, because it'll show up any other book throughout history. That's how great it is. From the manuscripts that we've had, such as the Dead Sea Scrolls, when Cameron and Crystal go to Israel, they can go and literally see those scrolls. They're housed in a beautiful building, and they are preserved, and you can see the Holy Scriptures in original form. Pretty awesome. So from those manuscripts to other original manuscripts that have been found, and through the discoveries that have been found and that continue to happen today through archaeology and history, changed lives, the Bible has proven itself that there's no other book that is trustworthy as this book, the Bible. It's interesting that for all the centuries, this book is still the best-selling book every year. That's quite amazing. And when you think about that this book, that it continues every year to be a bestseller, the bestseller. It's amazing when you think about it. This book is a good book. It's a book that is safe to read. It's a book that is beneficial to read. All the answers that you really have in life are in this book. It's a trustworthy book. It's a true book. You won't go wrong trusting in the Scriptures. The Scriptures will not lead you astray, as it is the supreme revelation of God to us. This book is a trustworthy book. Secondly, in the importance of the Word of God, we need to realize that the Word of God is wisdom. The greatest wisdom in all the world is contained in these pages. See, this book is really God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ." See, this is a book of wisdom. It's not just Proverbs that's a book of wisdom. The whole book is a book of wisdom. It's a book that God breathed upon. And I like that because, you know, I was thinking, you know, how sometimes you can go to evangelists and they get really excited and they'll go, whew, whew, and they'll blow on you, and sometimes people fall, they go under the power or whatever. Do you realize he's doing that to you? Every day you open this up. Every day you turn a page. Whew, whew. It's God breathed. He's breathing on you as you read this book. You want the breath of God? Start opening this book. Every page he will breathe upon you. Its wisdom is unmatched on earth, and after all, it's been designed and written by the Creator. Who is better than the Creator? Who is better than the God that created us all, that created this whole universe? He's telling us what is wisdom. This is the greatest wisdom. You won't find a greater wisdom than what's in this book. 2 Peter chapter 1, 20-21 says, "Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God." See, this is God's book. This is the Creator's book. Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit to write it. Even the smartest man in the world that they say is Solomon still needed to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to write words of wisdom. That's how great this book is. And when you think of the many people that God used to write this Bible through hundreds of years, and how it could still carry the theme from Genesis right through to Revelations, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. That's what this book is. God's wisdom is throughout the book. From the beginning of the pages to the end of the pages, you will not find any other book in all the world with such clear wisdom to the reader. And that includes any subject. But the greatest wisdom that is contained in this book, and really the biggest reason why this book was written, was that we might experience salvation, that we might know how to be saved, that we might know how that we our lives can be made bright with God. And so from the Old Testament to New Testament, it shows us the story of salvation, starting with how sin came in the world and brings it right through, and how that a Savior came. His name was Jesus, and he paid the price of that sin and opened up a way for us that we could come to the Father once again. The story of salvation is in it. The greatest wisdom for you to receive out of this book is salvation that God offers you. No other book can tell you the story of salvation like this book. The person who reads this book will not only find wisdom, they will find salvation. And so as Christians, we all know that. We know that that's true. We know that this book contains the wisdom of God. And as we know those things, why do we let them get dusty? Why do we discard it and put it off to the side and kind of say, well, it's kind of boring. I don't want to read it. This book is wisdom. Everything I need to know is in this book. It only takes me some time to start reading it to discover all the things that God wants to say to me. I've been reading this book for a long, long time. And what amazes me that every time I read it, I can receive something fresh and something new. I can see something, I didn't see that before. Or something just jumps out of you as you read it. Because this book is life. It's life. It's real. It touches us. It offers us wisdom. And so I just pray that that would be something that you will get into a whole lot more and experience the breath of God and allow God to breathe upon you. He breathed on these scriptures. Let him breathe on the scriptures as you read them. The Word of God is wisdom. Then thirdly, and why the Word of God is important, is that the Word of God is truth. It has more confirmations that His words are true than any other book in all of history. In fact, there isn't any book out there in the world that comes even close to lining up or coming close to the confirmations that this book is true. It is God-breathed. It is inspired by God. It contains the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. The Bible is a proven book. Its words are true. The discoveries continue to happen even today to prove that this is a trustworthy book, a true book. It will not deceive you. People may try to use it to distort the truth. People may try to use it or take portions off it. But if you will read it for yourself, you will not be deceived. Get to know the whole book, not just parts of it. Know the truth, and the Bible says the truth will set you free. There is freedom to be discovered in this book as you discover the truths that are there. The world asks today, what is truth? And there are so many people that will give you so many different answers of what is truth. And yet the Bible is that book that says this is truth. And yet so many people try to discard this book and they choose to believe that what they think must be truth. And that's why our world is in such a mess today. There's no moral compass. There's no standard of what is right and what is wrong. And of course, that is what the Bible tells us will happen in the last days, that people will do what is right in their own eyes. Let us remember, this book is God-breathed. This book is fully inspired by God, our Savior, our Creator. If anyone knows truth, then obviously our Creator does. So this book will teach us what is true. It will teach us what is wrong. It'll teach us what is good for us and what things are bad for us. This book will show us our true condition and our true identity as it speaks the truth, exposing the lies and the falsehoods that are all around us. This book will correct us. It will show us the errors off our ways. It will tell us that black is black and white is white. You will not find a more proven book concerning right and wrong. So do you want to know the truth? You won't find the truth until you read this book of truth. Lots of testimonies right here in this church about reading this book. Steve Penns is not here today, but his wife Lucille is right up here in the front. And if you would talk with Steve Penns, he would give you a story of how he began to read this book. And he just read it, I think, for over like 24 hours, almost 36 hours straight. He did not put it down except to work. He came home and read it, did not sleep, just read it all the way through and just kept reading it till he found the truth himself and he experienced that truth himself. I think of Ian Kim, a Buddhist. You might remember him when he used to own the Galaxy Motel. And one day he had a vision of the Word of God coming down before him and opening up. And after that vision, he went out and he got a Bible and he began to start reading that book. And as he read through it, he soon found out there's salvation in this book. And he experienced salvation. And today, last time I saw him, and as he's in a church in Edmonton, he was telling me that he usually gets up and goes to a prayer meeting before he goes to work at 5 in the morning. And he does pray for us too while he's doing that. This book touched his life. This book changed his life. This book is filled with truths. So we don't want to ignore it. We don't want to put it on the shelf. We really want to listen to it and read it and study it. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. See, we're to work hard at studying this book that we might be able to share it with others and that the word itself might bring true life to us. The word of God is truth. And then lastly, in the importance of the word of God, we need to realize that the word of God, it's complete. Everything you need to know is in the book. Everything you need to know. I know sometimes we have inquiring minds and maybe we have some questions about other things, but everything you need to know about getting to heaven, about salvation, and living a Christian life is in the book. It's right here. Everything you need to prepare yourself and equip yourself in this Christian walk is found in this book. It's how you'll survive even in the last days. 2 Timothy 3:17, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Will I make it as a Christian? What do I need to do as a Christian? How am I going to survive in the last days? What do I have to do to prepare myself for the temptations and the trials that will come my way? How do I survive as a Christian? The Bible says, this book will prepare you. This book will help it happen. This book will equip you in what you are to do. It will tell you what to do. Everything you need to know is in the book. It's complete. It's complete. The Bible says there's no other greater revelation that needs to happen. It's all in here. It's all that you need. It's right here. This book will lead you to all that is good. It will help you to find salvation. It will help you to be strong and help you to be prosperous in your faith. It will keep you from falling. It will keep you from being deceived. But you need to read it. You need to study it. The Bible is a complete book from A to Z. It has it all. It's all in there. It's all you need to know. All that you need to prepare yourself for. All that you need to equip yourself and living and doing that which is good. The Word of God is complete. And so this morning as we close, as our musicians come back to the instruments, I hope you just realize afresh, this book really is important. And I know we go through seasons in our lives where, you know, sometimes, you know, you're reading it and you're done reading and you said, what did I just read? I can't remember a thing. Sometimes when that happens to me, I go read it again. It happens again, I read it again until you get something out of this book. But sometimes you go through dry spells as Christians, but you don't stop reading it. Keep reading. You don't realize sometimes when maybe your mind's not catching it all, it's going in there. It's getting in your heart. It's getting in you. And if you struggle with reading a certain version of the Bible, then get a version that you can understand. I like to use the New Living Translation as I preach. I don't think it's the best translation, but I find it the best translation that people understand and that it's written in more modern language. We have numbers of these Bibles that are for sale in the back if you absolutely want one. And I just encourage people, get a Bible you can read. And be careful when you get some of those people, they like to push that. Only this version is good. Only read that version. Well, all that does is causes people not to read God's Word. People died to write these books. People were killed because they dared translate the scriptures so that you could understand, so you could read it yourself. It's a precious, precious book. It's God's Word. It's important. And in these last days, as we face so many uncertain things, this book will keep you. This book will see you through as you keep holding to it. And as we close here this morning, I really pray that God would give us all a fresh hunger to get into this book. A fresh desire to read this book and to take time in it daily in our lives. My prayer would be that God give us a fresh revelation. As we start reading these pages, that Lord, the scriptures would just start bouncing off the pages and speaking into us. As we read this book, that the breath of God, as you breathe on this book, that your breath would begin to breathe upon us and touch us. That there'd be fresh revelations, there'd be fresh understanding, that we would experience more of God as we get into this book. This book is so important. I love this book. I have many of these books. I have many different translations. I sometimes just read different translations just to kind of break it up. Sometimes I get study Bibles and get them to help me out and kind of give you some insight into passages. This latest one is an awesome Bible. I really like it because I'm getting older and I notice my eyesight's getting worse. This is called Giant Print. It is awesome. tell you, I'm starting to struggle a little bit with that too, so that's why I'm using an iPad now. I can make it as big, or until I get the proper glasses. But anyway, it's an awesome book. Read it. Hold on to it. We are Christians. We're supposed to know this book. I like Dr. Amishon, when one of the first times that I met him, and we were talking about the faith. And he was telling me about how they were taught. He says, Pastor, we were taught as we grow up that your profession was in one hand and you carried the Bible in the other. This book was to always be with you. So important. So wonderful. It's an awesome book. Friends, I believe God just wants to remind us, get into it. And I really believe God's going to give you some fresh revelation. God's going to give you some fresh understanding as you start reading this book again. And maybe you've gotten to that place where maybe you've been finding it's been boring to you. I believe God's going to change that around for you. He's going to speak new things to you through this book. So I just encourage you. It's a basic of our faith, but it's important to our faith. God's word, this holy book. Amen. Let us stand as we close with this song. And as we close here in our church, if you're a visitor with us, we have numbers of people that will pray for you. And if you're here today and you're going through a circumstance, a trial, a situation where you could say, you know, I could really use some prayer today, I encourage you to come. Again, that person in the shoulder, if maybe you're new here, but if you would like prayer, further prayer to that regard, I'd really encourage you to come and just receive prayer for that area as well. Or if you have surgery, or if you know that there's a problem in your body right now and you haven't seen the doctor yet, but you already know what it is, and you know you're going to need surgery, I encourage you to come and get some prayer. I believe God can touch you this morning. So as we close, hold on to the word. Have a great week. Enjoy the rodeo week here in St. Paul. It's one of the best weeks that we have here in town. So many things to do and all kinds of cheap meals that are out there. And just let it be a blessing to you. And get involved. I know we have numbers of our people involved with the rodeo. Pastor Adam is going to be our speaker again this year at the rodeo church service on next Sunday. So he won't be here. He'll be preaching over at the rodeo. And so, praise God, that's an awesome thing as well. So, thank you for your involvement. Bless you. Have an awesome day.